But right now, let's go to the fan hotline. And we welcome in from CBS Sports, as well as News 5's coverage of Browns football. She is a sideline reporter for Saturday's matchup against the Philadelphia Eagles. She did a fine job on Friday night. Let's welcome in Aditi Kingabwala. Joins us right now. Hello, Aditi.
Hello. How do you know if I did a fine job? Weren't you doing the game at the same time? And why just fine?
I was watching on TV.
And did you pause every time I came on?
No, it was just we were watching live. My family was watching live, and then there you were, and you were doing interviews and giving reports on the sidelines and so on and so forth. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, see how that works.
Thank you. I'll aim for great. If it was just fine, then this weekend I'll aim for great.
Oh, goodness gracious. Aditi joining us here on the Fan Hotline. All right, Aditi, I'm really looking forward to Kevin Stefanski's press conference at 9:30. I want him to say that Dylan Gabriel is good to go and he's going to participate in team drills today and he's going to play on Saturday, because I really want to see him, Aditi, because, man, there's been a lot of beat reporters saying he has not looked good. So I want to see whether or not he can change people's minds coming up on Saturday.
You know, that's interesting. Now, the beat reporters are out there every single day, and I was only there last Monday. But I can certainly say that in the conversations that I've had with people, this is a team that is very high on Dylan Gabriel, and that it's not just about the little snapshots. You may see one throw here, one throw there, but it's about the myriad of things that go into being a quarterback. And that's in the meeting room. That's the way you process information. That's the way you retain information, how many times you need to be taught something. And remember, practices in the preseason are actually much harder than a game is. Because in a game, the opponent is playing the most basic defense. But when you're in practice, you're seeing Jim Schwartz's real defense. He's playing real defense at that point. So a rookie quarterback seeing a Jim Schwartz defense, you wouldn't expect him to be perfect.
I'll take that answer. Go ahead there, Tone.
Just overall, Aditi, the reaction that you have seen all over the country for the Shedeur Sanders performance, did you think it was in line with what you saw?
I don't think anything, to be perfectly frank, Lima, I don't think anything from the time that this young man has declared for the draft has been sort of in line, if we could say that. Everything is outsized. I'll say this. I was very impressed with and pleased with Shedeur Sanders' demeanor and his poise in that start on Friday night in Carolina. He never got too high. He never got too low. I watched him multiple times sort of run sprints in the end zone or get on the bike just to make sure that his body stayed warm and he didn't have any sort of extra wasted nerves, kept himself calm. And he did exactly what was asked of him. But again, like, let's be reasonable here. The Browns didn't run any sort of super fancy offense. It was play action, run game, the most simple movements. There wasn't any sort of outsized crazy checks. The defense that the Panthers ran was as basic as could be. I remember one blitz, maybe. And so, yes, he did well, but to put this pressure on this kid and this young man that, okay, you did a nice job in your first outing under the lights with all these people screaming with a live rush, however it was, that whatever state it was in, all of those things were good, but why are we saying that he's the next coming of Dan Marino? You know, like, can we let this young man develop? Can we let him continue to get better? Before the game, I said, you know, like, let's see how he handles the huddle. Let's see how he handles the pre-snap operation. Those are things that are really important and are things that weren't necessarily asked of him in college.
I'll tell you this, Aditi. I'm fully willing to admit it. I think we're desperate. I think I'm desperate. I don't want to anoint him the next Marino or Josh Allen or anything yet. I know it's going to take steps, and I know we're not going to start the season with him. And I'm not saying for him to start the season, but damn it. Like, I see him as the quickest way to dig ourselves out of this tremendous hole that they're in after the Watson trade. And I'm going to cling to anything I could possibly find. And I think that, honestly, Aditi, I think that's a microcosm over the last 3 years. I mean, you look at the way people reacted to Jacoby Brissett. You look at the way they reacted to Jameis Winston, Joe Flacco, for crying out loud. Like, I think a lot of people have felt like this wasn't going to go the right way over the last 3 years. It certainly didn't go the right way. And now you've had hope, and finally you got this young guy, and it's like, okay, I know it's one game, but damn, I really want him to hit, because I don't want to have to keep having this conversation with this tremendous albatross of the salary cap hitting me.
Okay, and that's very fair, but I also think that you're not necessarily being fair to the young man that this organization clearly felt more strongly about, and that is Dylan Gabriel.
True.
Like, at least give that young man a shot.
Absolutely.
And then
true.
Also, there's a reason that Joe Flacco is here, and I can tell you, that arm is still that arm. He can still deliver that ball downfield. And look, the Browns are going back to playing the Kevin Stefanski offense. You're still going to see ball control. Everything start with the run game. And then if you can occasionally let that ball out the way that Joe Flacco still can. And I'm here to tell you, I covered him a bunch last year in Indianapolis. My crew had a ton of those games. He came in against the Steelers when and let a comeback win. He almost led this crazy comeback down in Jacksonville. He won in Tennessee. Joe Flacco should have been that starter last year. But the Colts aren't going to give up on a young man that they drafted in the first round. Joe Flacco can still do this. So I sort of worry that the first time Joe Flacco throws an incompletion, Browns fans are going to be screaming for Shedeur Sanders. And yes, Shedeur can be potential for you. He just hasn't shown yet that he is ready to be the week one starter. So let's slow our roll a little bit. Let's be excited about the good things that we've seen. Let's hope that we continue to see growth in other areas. And let's not, your fever, your hunger for him to be the answer might actually screw him up if you throw him out there too soon. You know, I'll tell you, Joe Thomas and I had, I mean, I hope I'm allowed to say this, but after this game, Joe Thomas and I had a long debate about what is best for the Cleveland Browns. And is that Shedeur Sanders going against the Eagles defense, number one defense in practice? Or is it preparing the guy that's going to be your starter and letting him get all of those reps against the Eagles number one defense? And Joe and I were in agreement, Shedeur is not ready for the Eagles' number one defense. So the only reason to do that would be to try to quiet this noise a little bit and say, okay, yes, there are these amazing things about Shedeur Sanders. There are these things to be excited about, but he's just not ready yet for that. So let's not build him up to be something that he's not. But Joe and I were essentially saying, is it better for the Cleveland Browns organization to try to quiet some of that noise and illustrate that for all these good things, this young man still needs some development? Or is that ridiculous? And do you not respond to the masses? Do you not try to appease anyone in the public? And do you just do what's best for your club? And is quieting the noise not really anything that is good for your club in any way, or not your responsibility? Is your responsibility just to tell your players to ignore the noise? It's interesting, but it sure sounds like Kevin Stefanski has said he's preparing the guys that he thinks are going to play at the start of the season. And he's not worried if the Lewis Riddicks and RG3s of the world are screaming for Shedeur Sanders to get first team reps.
Or the Hugh Douglases of the world, and the list goes on, man. It was very interesting to hear so many people say the Browns were doing wrong by Shedeur Sanders. Oh. They were burying him. He's a hostage situation. They're sabotaging him. Didn't look to me like a player that was looking like his career was being sabotaged right before our eyes.
Okay. But remember, there are so many things that none of those people see. What is he like in the meeting rooms? How does he take in new plays? How does he respond to bad decisions on the field? How does he build rapport with his teammates? Again, there are a myriad of things that go into being a quarterback in the National PS. Where are all those people that said this coaching staff set up Shedeur for success on Friday night? They literally played to his strengths. They literally took advantage of what it is that he could do. They did everything they could to set him up to look good Friday. But nobody's... Where are all those people that were so quick to rip that coaching staff?
I will tell you, we did on Monday, but I don't know if we count this show.
Well, you generally have more information than the rabble-rousers okay. who just like to sort of have hot takes. So, and I'm sorry I didn't hear you do that, but
no,
I appreciate that you did.
Because I looked at it the same way you did, Aditi. I swear to God, I was like, man, I don't need to... Because people take these things the wrong way. It's like, hey, man, he's just starting with this. It's a new offense. He didn't get a lot of team reps. You're seeing a lot of things that it's like, hey, let's take a few plays that we really, really like, and right. let's put him in a position where he can succeed. And I thought that the Browns did that. I thought it was good common sense on Friday, and I thought it was a great way to start off his career. Because I'll tell you what, as much as I love him, and I really do, I was a fan of his in college. I'm still very conservative how I would like to bring these guys along. So as excited as I am about Shador, I have a feeling I'm going to end up being a heel during the regular season, exactly how you said. Because if Joe Flacco, who does have a tendency to turn the ball over, if Joe Flacco starts to throw a few turnovers, I don't think I'm going to be freaking out week two or three about throwing in Shador Sanders.
Freaking out, meaning that you will be screaming for
no,
it?
No. Like, I don't think, because I'm going to go, man, if Joe's still playing, then that means the other guys aren't ready. Or that's kind of what I'm thinking. If the wheels, like, come off and it's still, hey, guys, it's Joe. Or even if it's Kenny. Now, Kenny's a different animal there. I get it. But if it's Joe, I'm going, man, these other guys, they must not be ready. They're going to try to put them in the right position for this, and they're going to play them when they're ready. Right. But we're not going to try to force this unless it's an emergency, flat-out emergency situation like it was a couple of years ago with DTR.
Agreed. And I don't – you know, I will say the Kenny Pickett thing really is a shame, because everything that I have – been told and heard and saw myself is that first week he really was playing so well. I know that the Browns loved his athleticism, his ability to move, and hamstrings are just so tricky. I appreciate that the Browns are being conservative, that they're not letting him rush himself out there. They don't want further injury. I know that they are hopeful but not certain that he will indeed be able to go live by the time we have that third preseason game. It's really tough for someone who was so excited to lose ground because of injury. That's hard. But again, they did feel strongly about him for a reason. They were giving him first team reps for a reason. Even when I was out of practice last week, when all he's doing is throwing, he was getting some 7-on-7s with the ones. So again, like, yes, the Shador Sanders thing is exciting, but let's not put too much on this young man before he's ready for it. Because then it can totally backfire.
All right, Aditi, got to put your journalism hat on right now. How seriously are you going to take the Myles Garrett speeding ticket for the next preseason game? Will you carve out a segment of time for that?
You know what? I haven't talked to my producer, but that's probably the booth's responsibility, not mine. And I don't know how... I can't answer that.
I wasn't really being serious. You know, Aditi, we always, Ken is so right about this.
Whenever something happens
like this, people look to us for the big opinions on the speeding ticket. And we're like, yeah, slow down next time.
Yeah, I'm annoyed just because the reactions that we get, we're like, hey, man, he's a grown man. He's got to slow down. With that said, we got a humdinger coming up at 8:20 there. I don't know.
What's at 8:20?
Oh, we had a host here on the station who had a total meltdown yesterday over it.
Oh.
Yeah. It was a...
Should he lose his captaincy?
I'm giving away what we could sell. You think Aditi's going to say he needs to lose his captaincy?
I'm not in a position to say anything like that, but I do think that it's fair to be a bit disappointed. After it was an issue earlier, it's a safety issue. That's what it is. It's a safety issue, not just to him, but to anybody else on the road, which I know at 2 a.m. isn't that many people, but even still, I mean, it's just.
Well, you know, my issue.
It's up to the organization to decide what it wants to do. But
yeah.
On a personal level,
Aditi, I said yesterday.
That was my son.
I said yesterday, I go, he's coming back from they got off the plane. He's coming back from the airport after the preseason game. And I'm like, yeah, Miles is sober as a judge, but it is 2 a.m. on a Saturday morning. I mean, I imagine other people aren't. Who knows what people in front of him are willing to do. So I do get a little bit nervous about that. But at the same time, I go, hey, you know what? He's a grown man. He's a taxpayer. He's got to deal with it in his own right. You know, because someone asked us on, what was it, yesterday? They go, okay, what if somebody at the fan, what if Mitch got a speeding ticket at the fan? I go, Mitch has to deal with that. That's with him and the law. That ain't my business.
Sure, but Ken, there's a difference there, is in that Mitch doesn't have the same obligation to the team the way that the best player on the team has to the rest of the team.
So is it different if I kept getting speeding tickets at the fan?
I don't know. That's up to you and your boss.
Well, wait a minute.
Whether you get suspended. But the whole idea
is it better if Lima does? Because Lima's our best player on our team.
Yeah. You know what? I don't even want to step into this. But I just think
that's a smart move.
I love it. All right. Aditi, we will be watching you.
I mean, I do my best. I come with good intentions and a good heart.
And we got
somehow
the best.
I'm always stepping in it.
No, you didn't step in nothing here. Not today. I mean, I don't know if you're doing any interviews with the rest of the station this week, but you didn't step in anything with us.
All right. Well, if you say so, we'll see how this goes.
Oh, certainly. All right. We're going to be watching Aditi coming up on Saturday afternoon. Aditi, thank you very much for your time.
For having me, guys. See you soon.
Aditi Kinkabwala on the Fan Hotline.